Lunch with Pippa Hudson.
And now,
Consumer Talk featuring Wendy Nola.
It is always a pleasure to have consumer journalist Wendy Nola joining us on the show. And Wendy, thank you for being flexible with the timing today to accommodate the budget speech. Welcome back.
Thank you, Pippa. Good to be with you, early as it is.
Look, we're going to start by taking a closer look at lay-bys and the rules that apply to them and the people who break those rules. And then, if time allows, we'll also take a look at a couple of travel-related stories as well. We will break for our round of Brain of Cape Talk after the 1:30 news headlines and then come back to continue the consumer conversation. So, as always, the lines are open to you on 021-446-0567. And you're very welcome to leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Wendy, lay-bys are meant to be one of the most consumer-friendly ways to buy, and they're in particular demand right now, aren't they?
They are, Pippa, and no doubt because of the tough economic climate, even tougher than the last 11 months. So lay-by, which was very much sort of lower income groups, the smaller little independent furniture shops, that kind of thing, has now gone very mainstream, upmarket. You'll see signs in all the top malls, in various stores. And I think, you know, a lot of them, the retailers realize that, you know, they have to offer it as an option or lose out to their competitors. Because, you know, even if you could once swipe your credit card, many people, you know, are sitting with backstart cards or impaired credit records, and so they have to look at other ways of buying things other than upfront. So with a lay-by, importantly, no credit checks are done, and they're not necessary because the shop gets to hold on to the goods until they are totally paid off by you. And so there's no risk for them and no need for any credit checks to be done.
Okay. Just for the sake of those who've never purchased this way before, Wendy, I think it's worth taking a moment or two just to explain exactly how a lay-by is meant to work.
Okay, how it's supposed to work, and it's governed by the Consumer Protection Act and has been for the last 10 years, is that you choose an item. So let's go with a pair of shoes. It often is a pair of shoes. And you pay them off every month. The terms can vary from a few weeks to up to 6 months or so. And there's no interest added, as I said. So the store holds on to the goods. So for people who have, you know, they're not good with they need instant gratification, this is not going to work for them. So the store holds on until you make that final payment, at which point you get to take them home, and importantly, the money that you've paid actually remains yours until the final payment, and likewise the shoes remain the
shops,
retailers.
Okay, so that's a really important distinction. For the duration of this period, the shop still owns the shoes. The money you've paid is still your money until the final payment is made, at which point the money becomes the store's and the shoes become yours to take away. Okay. One of the very attractive things about lay-by, Wendy, is that the regulations around them allow quite a bit of wiggle room if you change your mind halfway through that deal.
Exactly. So before the CPA came into effect, the rule was that you could cancel your lay-by at any time, or you could default, or you don't want the shoes anymore, let's stick with the shoes. And then you had to get back all the monies you'd paid minus a cancellation penalty of just 10% of the purchase price. So it's was fairly minimal. The CPA made that even more attractive to the consumer. It's now, for the last 10 years, legally only 1%. So that would be 30 rand of a 3,000 rand pair of shoes, say. So very, very attractive for the consumer. You can change your mind. You don't have to give a reason. You just get all your money back and minus that 1%. But a lot of retailers just don't see – either they don't know the law or they don't feel that it's fair, and they're just going to do their own thing. And so I get a steady stream of complaints about lay-bys that aren't done the legal way, and mostly people find out too late when they're already committed and now they want to cancel, and they're told either there's no refunds at all, believe it or not, or okay, we're not refunding you, you will keep that as a credit and you need to put it down on the purchase of something else, another lay-by.
So a credit note instead of an actual refund of the cash.
Yeah.
Okay, so if All right. So the big thing here is that the reason we're doing this show today is to alert everybody to the rules that apply so that they don't get duped into stores which have got less than legal terms and conditions attached to them. And Wendy, as you've mentioned, there are quite a number of stores who, let's be generous, perhaps some of it is done out of ignorance, but certainly some of it is done out of deliberate ignoring of the law in the terms that apply.
Well, I've had two actually in the last month.
Okay.
The one was someone who'd paid a 20,000 rand table off, paid his last installment and on the lay-by deal, and then was told it's not available, it's been discontinued. There are no refunds or choose something else. And actually what the Act says is you can get back what you've paid plus double because they've not kept the end of the bargain. You've paid something off which they've just not made available to you. It's supposed to be set aside.
Okay.
So that's an interesting one. And then another one where a woman put, is getting married in April. She put a 900 rand deposit down on an outfit for her husband to be. And when she tried to cancel the deal soon after, she was told by this sort of bridal wear shop in Durban, no, we don't do exchanges or refunds.
Mm.
And often getting justice, but here's the thing, legally, you know, it's wrong, but to get justice out of those companies is you know, exhausting. And, you know, you can jump through all the hoops and still they just dig their heels in. And it's not, you know, recourse is very hard to get if the company doesn't want to play ball, which is why we issue these warnings and say, please check the terms and conditions of a store's labor deals before you sign. The bigger companies that have all jumped onto the labor bandwagon are doing it correctly, but it's the smaller ones you need to be careful of.
Okay, which brings us to our first listener case study of this week from a Cape Talk listener who did exactly that. She was wanting to buy an item on lay-by. She thought to check the terms and conditions and a red flag went up and she contacted us to say, is this correct? What did she tell you, Wendy?
Okay, so she wanted to buy a 3,000 rand pair of shoes. You know, a lot of people would balk at paying that up front, so she wanted to do a lay-by agreement. This was at the Shoe Lady of Cape Town. But when she read the T's and C's online before she went ahead, so a huge gold star there,
yeah.
As you said, there were things that troubled her, and she checked them out with us, and she was right. On two counts, they weren't compliant with the CPA. For one thing, I've never seen this before, I have to say, the retailer was applying 7% interest to a two-month lay-by. You cannot do that. And also, the terms and conditions said that if the consumer cancels the lay-by, you know, doesn't make the final payment, that second payment, they don't offer a refund, and they say you will forfeit the product. Okay, fair enough. We will keep your deposit as credit for a future purchase, less the interest of 7% owed. This future purchase must be made within 6 months of the original deposit date. So they're tying you into a very narrow window there.
It's a reputable store. It's the best place in town if you're looking for Doc Martens. I've shopped there myself many times, but never on lay-by. So I'm a little surprised, but I'm glad that she picked this up and brought it to us. Now, Wendy, you obviously sent those terms and conditions to them and pointed out that they weren't compliant.
Yes, and I cut and pasted the relevant sections of the CPA and its regulation, and the regulation came in around the 1%, not 10% cancellation penalty. And very quickly, I have to say, the company's finance manager got back to me. She thanked me for the information, and she said she undertook to have a look and amend those terms accordingly. And often companies say that to me, and when I check, they haven't.
Yeah.
But in this case, she was on it straight away, and the terms and conditions are now fully compliant. I'm happy to say. So I think in this case it was a case of not knowing rather than deliberately flouting them. But, you know, if you're in business, you really should check what laws apply to your operation before you go and put them in your T's and C's. But anyway, thank you so much to that listener for alerting us to that. Anyone listening, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you for following up on it and pointing it out to them, Wendy. I mean, the takeaway here is it really does pay to do your homework, because she might have found herself locked into a deal with all kinds of terms and conditions and limitations that shouldn't have been there. And just to alert everybody to be aware of the fact that no interest can be charged on a lay-by, and that money is still yours up until the moment that you take ownership of the goods and the exchange happens. I mean, Wendy, obviously it's not for everybody. everybody. There are other ways to pay if you can't pay a big item up front, one of which is maxing out the credit cards for some people.
Yes.
But good to know that this is a very consumer-friendly way of paying out a big item.
It is indeed. I personally feel, and I don't often say this, I think that the 1% is a little harsh on the retailer, the 1% cancellation penalty. I mean, they left, if it's a longish layby, say 3, 4, 5 months, whatever, they could be sitting with, you know, now quite old stock, and all they're giving you this, most of your money back minus that tiny cancellation penalty. I think 10% was fairer to both parties, but there you are, very consumer friendly. If, especially if you're clever and you don't need the product right away, then there's no loss there. So for, you know, winter stock comes into the stores now. We're not wearing the stuff now. Goodness me, have you seen the temperatures coming up next week? But so that would be great. So you could buy the coat, the hat, the big ticket items, the coat, the boots, the whatever.
Yeah.
And by the time you don't need them before you've paid them off. So brilliant for that sort of thing. Absolute win for consumers.
Thank you so much for tipping us off, and thanks for tipping us off to ask about the lay-by facility, because it sounds like a lot more stores are offering it than used to be the case. So it's definitely worth exploring. Okay, we're happy to take any calls or questions you might have around the issue of lay-bys, but we're also going to talk about some travel-related queries that have come in, and happy to make some space for open line calls as well. So 021-446-0567 is the number to dial. You can send an SMS to 31567 or tweet us at Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
Open line.
Call 021-446-0567.
Now, a quick update on Vitality refunds to take us to the news. If you were listening last week, you might have heard us take a call from Rachel, who said she had yet to be refunded for her 3 Cape Town to London airfares, which she had booked for October 2020 flights. She'd booked more than a year ago. Obviously, those flights were cancelled by the airline, British Airways. She'd made that booking via Discovery Vitality Travel through the Comair connection. And she was owed roughly 25,000 Rand, but she said she just could not get anyone to commit to when she'd get her money back, despite making multiple phone calls. Wendy, you took up the case. What have you found out?
Vitality, and can you hear me?
Yes, sorry, we've got you now.
Sorry, I reached out to Vitality about this. I got the following response. International flight refunds have been slow during the pandemic in general, and due to Comair's business rescue process, certain refunds have taken even longer to get processed. Comair was able to process Emirates and Qantas refunds last year and has commenced with the BA International flight refund. So there's a pecking order here, Pippa, with over 500 refunds processed to date. So they are happening. The statement continues, Comair is working through a number of refunds with additional flight cancellations also occurring. We're anticipating significant progress on all refunds in this quarter. We are dealing directly with Rachel now, and we will make sure she receives that refund as soon as possible. So, you know, it's not she'll have it this week, but at least you know, she's now on the very much on the radar.
Well, that's what she was looking for. And Rachel has in fact contacted us, Wendy, to thank you for following up and to say she has received a call from Vitality, just reassuring her that she is in the refund queue. And really, that's, you know, what she was looking for, to know that she wasn't sort of lost in the system or had been dropped from the system, that she is on that list and will eventually get the refund. So she has said she will keep us posted, but a big thank you to you. I wonder if other listeners have received their refunds yet. I know about 6 months ago we dealt with a massive number of Vitality flight refund questions, Wendy, and I'd be interested to hear from anybody who has already received theirs, how long it took, and particularly if anybody's just been getting them now who's in the same boat as Rachel. We'd love a call or a voice note, please, to update us. Are you still seeing as many questions coming in around this particular category of refunds?
Not quite as many. So I would, that tells me that there are refunds being made. Unfortunately, with British Airways booked via Comair, it's a double COVID whammy of, you know, the cancellation, the flight being cancelled, and then the airline going into the airline company going into business rescue, which certainly slowed things up. So very unfortunate for Rachel and her family and others who had the same combination of of booking.
Okay, thanks for that. And again, if anybody has had an update, got a refund, wants to just let us know how the process worked for you, you're very welcome to call in on 021-446-0567 or to pop an email through to me on pippah@capetalk.co.za or a voice note to 072-567-1567. So let me just pause to recap where we are. We're going to take a break for the Eyewitness News headlines in just a moment or so, and then we will play our round of the Brain of Cape Talk for today and then come back to Wendy Nola for the remainder of Consumer Talk. She's still going to update us on what is happening with MSC Cruises. There have been some developments there in the last week, and we will happily make space for a couple of open line calls if you have general consumer issues that you'd like to phone in and ask about. So if you fall into that latter category, you can start dialing now, chat to my producer, tell him the nature of your question, and we'll be getting back to you from about 1:45 onwards.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
Call now on 021-446-0567.
That is the number to dial if you would like to raise a new consumer issue with Wendy Nola, who is still with us for the remainder of this hour, taking your calls and WhatsApps. Quite a few comments coming through on the WhatsApp line in response to our earlier conversation, Wendy. A couple of people are talking about Vitality refunds. Somebody saying, I know of a friend who still hasn't received their refund for a flight that was meant to be in July last year that was bought through Vitality. Can we assume this will happen? A lot of people are sort of looking for reassurance that even though it's taking a long time, it is eventually going to happen.
Yes, well, I think evidence suggests, evidence being people are getting their refunds, and I'm not dealing with the same deluge of complaints that I was months ago. I think it is fair to say that. It is asking for a lot of patience from people. I mean, in Rachel's case, she paid, you couldn't remember the exact date, but she said around February, March, so let's call it a year, and she's still 25,000 rand out of pocket for a flight which was cancelled by the airline due to COVID. Let's remember, nothing to do with her. So, yes, it is a big ask, but I think just, you know, hang tight. If, you know, by the end of the quarter, remember they said they expected big progress this quarter. So what does that take us to the end of
March?
If you're still sitting out of pocket at the end of March, please do email us and I'll send through a request about your case in particular.
Thanks for
a
that
query.
Terry and Steve are still waiting for a refund from SAA for a flight that was supposed to happen in late June. That's a very different kettle of fish, though, given what's going on at that airline, Wendy.
Yes, British Airways, Comair, locally, and obviously SAA, both in a world of pain of their own financially. So obviously that is delaying things enormously. Just an unfortunate choice of airline, given what has happened since those bookings were made.
Yeah, look, I've got a friend who's a pilot there who's been still waiting for a salary check since April. So, you're not alone, I'm afraid. Okay, then going back to lay-bys, very important and good question from Wendy Lee. Thank you for asking. Sorry, not from Wendy Lee. It's from Greg and Fishhook, and then I'll get to Wendy Lee's comment. Greg is asking, when you spoke about that penalty, the discussion on lay-by transactions, the legally approved cancellational penalty of 1%, does that pertain to the entire sales price, or is it 1% of the funds that you have already paid over at the point that you cancel?
Apologies if I didn't make that clear. It's of the purchase price. So it would be, in the case of the 3,000 rand pair of shoes that we mentioned, it would be 30 rand, if my maths is correct. Yeah, so 300 would be 10%. That's what it used to be pre-CPA. And now the only penalty they can deduct from what you've paid in would be 30 rand, being 1% of 3,000.
Okay, thanks for asking, Greg, so that we could clarify. Wendy Lee says she is the lay-by queen. She has been doing it for years. They should keep the lay-by until it's paid, as long as you pay. That is the way it was way back when, and in these tough times, I feel they should keep it that way. Well, that is what you've just described, Wendy.
It's
that
the
they
legal
only
position.
Hand over the item when that final payment is made, at which point the money becomes theirs and the item becomes yours. And Wendy Lee, I hope it continues to be a shopping strategy that works well for you. Donnie's comment on the WhatsApp line from Stellenbosch is that he loves this segment on Cape Talk. Thanks for that positive feedback, Donnie. Sad to say, though, he says, in my experience, almost no companies I deal with have even heard of the CPA. The smaller are the worst offenders. Is it fair for any company to claim it's never heard of the CPA 10 years after it was introduced, Wendy?
A very emphatic no. If you are in business, if you're offering a product or a service and you're taking money from the public for it, you absolutely need to know what your legal obligations are towards government in terms of paying your taxes and being registered and all the rest, but also to your customers. So things like doing, you know, what the returns policies are, lay-by if you're offering lay-by, repairs, what they, you know, that's got 3 months warranties, all sorts of things. Not be, you know, you can't add on 5% to the advertised price if people choose to pay with a card, a debit or credit card, which still happens in many of the smaller stores. It drives me mad, Pippa, as you can imagine, almost 10 years on. I think maybe we should do a show around about the 1st of April where I highlight the main areas where companies are getting it wrong still 10 years on.
That's a great idea.
Okay. I'll make a note.
I'm doing the same, sending myself an email as we speak to follow up on that. A good idea. Okay, before we go to the MSC Cruises update, Anne has a bit of a predicament. She says, I found a Woolworths gift card with no date on the card. It was not used, but it was probably bought way back in 2015. The terms and conditions say valid for 12 months. Her question is that legal and would the money still be available to be used?
Okay, that's a tricky question, not knowing the circumstances, because the CPA was very much in effect in 2015, and the Act states that any prepaid voucher needs to be valid for at least 3 years.
Yeah.
So saying on the card that it's valid for 12 months wouldn't be legal. But what often happens is gift vouchers are issued as, in terms of when you take goods back, for example, and they, if there's nothing wrong with them, they don't have to take them back at all. And sometimes vouchers are issued as a form of credit. And in that case, the store gets to state the validity. They're completely entitled to determine those, you know, the length of the how long the voucher is valid for. So Woolies has been getting it right for a long time. That's why I'm a little bit unsure about the circumstances of the 12-month thing. And I'm also surprised that there's no date on it, because if you're putting a validity on it without a date on the same
it's meaningless.
Vehicle, it is completely meaningless. So I don't know how to comment on that one, I'm afraid, other than to say you could try your luck. But bearing in mind that the longest a voucher would ever be legally valid for, or have to be valid for, would be 3 years. And if you're thinking as far back as 2015,
it's probably,
you're probably wasting your time.
Yeah. If you want to, maybe ask them to scan it when you're next at a Woolies till and see what it says. But it sounds like it's probably a bit of a moot point. And thanks for raising the issue, though. Okay, before we go to a voice note on refunds, let's just get a quick update on MSC Cruises. And a reminder that if you want to phone in with an open line call, you're welcome to do so on 021-446-0567. Wendy, we've been talking a lot about air passengers who were affected by COVID. But, of course, it wasn't only them. It's been a nightmare year for the cruise industry as well, both the operators and the passengers.
Absolutely, Pippa. So the Mediterranean Shipping Company, MSC, announced just a few days ago that it has cancelled its entire 2020-2021 cruise season. They're only going to resume operation for the next summer season, which starts in November this year and runs until the end of April 2022. They try to soften the blow by saying we're going to have two new ships, lovely new big one for Cape, based in Cape Town, and one in Durban. We're getting the Lyrica here in Cape Town. But anyway, the point is that they've said, you know, they jumped through all the hoops. They had inspections, onboard inspections done by Department of Transport, Health, Port Health, Home Affairs, Maritime Safety Authority, the whole lot, but they haven't got the go-ahead, and it just sounds like they've got tired of waiting, because they've got, you know, their passengers saying, are we sailing, are we sailing, what's going on? So they've just announced that it's all off until November. The MD of MSC Cruises in South Africa, Ross Falk, has said, we're very disappointed, as our as our guests will be, holiday plans cancelled, etc. Very difficult decision. And that's that. I've mentioned the two new ships. They're still going to be operating in 14 itineraries across South Africa. And the cruises will range in length from 2 nights to 14 nights. So it's not over. They're saying, you know, they're postponing it. Frankly, they must be more nervous of a third wave than most other companies or industries.
It's extraordinary to think of having to go, we've got to sit back and do nothing for another 6, 7, 8 months, but they're not alone. And once you've let us know about the refunds on this one, I'll give you an update on what some of the international cruise lines are doing. But Wendy, obviously important question here. What happens to people who had already had tickets booked that will now be affected by the further postponement?
Okay, so in its announcement, MSC says all guests whose reservations are affected by the cancellation of this current season are eligible for a voucher to the value of their current package. In other words, what they've paid thus far. And they'll, as a sweetener, they'll get an onboard credit of $50 per cabin to be used on that next cruise to say, you know, sorry for the inconvenience. But I wanted to know two things. Well, I haven't dealt with it in my prep, but, you know, it's, legally, people are entitled to a refund. And we've had those cases. So I've had people, especially elderly people, and cruises are favorite of elderly people who are saying, you know what, that's it, COVID, I'm high risk. I'm actually not traveling on a cruise or anywhere else overseas ever again. So I want my money back. And I've brokered many of those cases behind the scenes. But when it comes to, and again, we always say, you know, I'm at the front of the line that says, please try and take a credit. Please try and postpone if you want these industries and these companies to survive for when you do have the appetite to travel again. It's not their fault either. They really are suffering. So let's talk about that, because Mekgatlo Mphahlele, the Consumer Goods and Services Ombudsman, has been very upfront in saying, if you accept a voucher in lieu of a package that wasn't cancelled by yourself, it should be valid for 3 years, and there should be no extra cost. So I wanted to know, you know, the MSC is saying on the next cruise, if it's more expensive, then you have to pay in. And I went back to them, I sort of tried hard to pin them down to say, are you going to be offering like-for-like cruises?
Yeah.
In which case, if you can understand if the cruise is to a different destination or extra nights, then you must pay in, obviously. But you shouldn't have to pay in for like because you've postponed by a year or two. And I got an answer that says, guests whose cruises have been cancelled because of the COVID-19 regulations will have the option to rebook their cruise on an exact like-for-like basis at no extra cost. For example, same departure date a year later, same itinerary and same cabin category, etc. So if you don't want to lose out, if you don't want to have to pay in more for a cruise that's been postponed because of COVID, you shouldn't have to pay in anything extra. And I'm very happy to be able to put that on the record.
Okay, good to know. Wendy, thank you very much for doing the research for us. As a matter of interest, I just went and had a quick look at the Cruise Industry News website while we were chatting there.
Yes.
All of them are in the same position of postponing their plans to resume service to later dates. Costa Cruises, having reactivated 3 of their ships in September, had to pause everything again in December. They are hoping to start sailing again from the end of March. Disney Cruise Line, same thing. They bought a few ships back in the US in November, all on hold again until at least April. Princess Cruises extending its pause into May. And so the list goes on. Every single one of them, where those few who did attempt to get some kind of service going again later last year, they have all had to put the brakes on again because of resurgences. So MSC is certainly not alone in taking this cautious approach, and we'll keep you posted. And you please keep us posted if you receive any or you have any difficulties with rebooking and postponements, as Wendy's just outlined. Thank you, Debbie and Plumstead, letting us know we were due to fly to the UK in June last year on British Airways. We had booked directly with them. It took months of pestering, but we were finally refunded our full amount 3 weeks ago. Debbie, I'm so glad you finally got your money back. Thank you very much for letting us know. Yeah. Okay.
A quick tip there, if I may, my parents booked, I think we discussed this on another show, my parents booked directly with British Airways on their website to fly directly from Durban to London return in May, cancelled, and we're having, you know, trying to contact British Airways directly through their phone line, spending a fortune and just going round and round. And then my cousin in the UK said, let me try. So she phoned from a UK number, put my mother on speaker, and between the three of them, or two of them and a consultant, sorted it out in no time, and they got their full refund. So that's a tip for somebody that might still be battling with British Airways, that booked directly with British Airways and didn't go through an agent. If you have family or friends in the UK, thanks to technology, see if they can do that. It certainly worked a charm for my parents.
Thank you very much for that advice, Wendy. Okay, take that and use it or not use it as you see fit. We're not going to have time to address the lockdown wedding refund voice note, but I will capture that voice note and send it on to Wendy and see if we can give you some feedback in next week's show. So apologies to whoever sent that we haven't had time to get to it today. Wendy, back in the usual time slot of 2 to 3 from next week, Wednesday. In the meantime, if listeners would like to raise a case with you, won't you just remind them how to do so, please?
Okay, my email address is consumer@nola.co.za. Nola spelled the complicated way, K-N-O-W-L-E-R.
Okay.
Thank you.
consumer@nola.co.za. Wendy, we'll chat again next week. And just a reminder, if you are going to send an email like that, please remember to put Cape Talk in the subject line. Wendy works across several different brands, and it's really helpful if you just alert her that this is a Cape Talk story so that she can organize things that way. It also really helps if you put a word or two in that subject line about the nature of the problem. So Cape Talk cruise refund, for example, just to help us keep track of the correspondence. As you can imagine, after a year in which so many things have been cancelled and rescheduled, Wendy's inbox is overflowing. So if you can just play your part in making it a little bit easier to keep track of your communication, we'd really appreciate it. You also have the option of looking her up on Facebook, where her page is Wendy Nola Consumer.